watch Orlando Arcia play shortstop, he's as smooth as it gets. You know, I was the one guy I wanted to get in touch with as soon as I signed. So got in touch with him on Instagram. We started talking, and I was like, man, we're going to get you a gold patch, man. We're going to do whatever we can to get you there. So, you know, I feel like me and him at the middle, we're going to work well together. We always kind of joked around the field when I was with the Cardinals. So it's going to be fun to have him, you know, kind of on the same side. And, you know, I can pick his brain, he can pick my brain, and we can, you know, really make this middle infield work.
That's the newest Brewer, Colton Wong. Actually, I shouldn't say that. Jordan Zimmerman is in the fold. The Auburndale, Wisconsin native is a spring training invitee as the trucks are on their way to Arizona. Kyle Glazer, we're going to do this. We're going to warm you up with some hot stove talk. Kyle from Baseball America. Kyle, thanks for a couple minutes. How are you?
Doing all right. Thanks for having me.
So this Colton Wong, I'll start with the Brewers. This Colton Wong move, it's a good move. He's a guy that's available. He doesn't strike out a lot. He's good on defense. He's like the anti-Brewer in that sense right now. So it's a good move. But then the Brewers, they're going to have to move Keston here to first. We still don't know who the third baseman's going to be. I kind of like their pitching. Their outfield's all right. And I'm seeing projections that put the Brewers in first place in the Central. I'm like, okay, let's back up a little bit. This move, what do you think of Colton Wong to the Brewers? What do you think of their 2021 chances?
Yeah, it certainly strengthens their middle infield defense. When you can have Orlando Arcia at short and Colton Wong at second base, your pitchers are going to be very, very happy. Now, offensively, he doesn't strike out a whole lot, as you mentioned. He hits for average. He gets on base. He's a positive offensive contributor. This is a signing that makes the Brewers a better team. Now, are they the best team in the National League Central? One projection system has them in first place. Another does not. Personally, I do not think they're a better team than the Cardinals. I think the Cardinals have a deeper starting pitching staff. I do like their offense more, although the Brewers get bounce backs from Christian Yelich and Keston Hira. Lorenzo Cain coming back should give them a boost. The offense should be better than it was last year. I'll say this, the NL Central is not a great division right now, even after some of the additions the Cardinals have made and the Brewers have made. There's a lot of ways it can go, so I don't want to say the Brewers don't have a shot. They're absolutely in the conversation. But at this point, I do think the Cardinals are the better team.
Yeah, if you look at the Central, the Pirates, they're getting rid of everybody, so they're starting over. They're out. The Reds are always a team that should win 90, but they always win like 79. And then the Cubs, they're, you know, getting rid of dudes too. It would be maybe those three, but the Brewers and the Cardinals could be the top two. I just think with the Cardinals, they've been the most active. If it's just the Nolan Arenado deal, which I still can't believe actually happened, where the Rockies were so quick to not just give Arenado up for not even a top five prospect, then to give them all that money. What are the Rockies doing? Can you explain better than I've found anywhere?
No, because it makes absolutely no sense, no matter how you look at it. Basically, the Rockies were in a position where they felt like Nolan Arenado was going to opt out at the end of the year, and they decided they wanted to get more for him than they would have if he left, and they just got one draft pick. Now, there have been a lot of other guys who theoretically could leave in a year, and teams have gotten a good young major leaguer for him, plus a top 100 prospect. We saw it with the Paul Goldschmidt deal a few years ago. We saw it with the Mookie Betts deal last year as well. And in those cases, the team that acquired the veteran still won the trade. The Cardinals are not looking back on that Paul Goldschmidt deal and saying, man, we gave away Luke Weaver and Carson Kelly. What were we thinking? And the Dodgers certainly are not regretting the Mookie Betts trade. I mean, the Rockies, even by that very low standard, didn't even get close to that. This was just a bad trade. It was a bad process all around. And they're a worse team both in the present and the future because of it.
How much of a problem is the financial aspect of baseball right now, where you do see teams spending their way to a championship? I think the Bauer move to the Dodgers, I think, was the one that was like, oh my goodness. And they've already, you know, added pieces, and they already pay a bunch of money. The Padres are trying to keep up with them. Do you think we're ever at a point where it will be on a more level playing field, or is this it? This is what baseball is.
I don't think a salary cap is the cure that everyone thinks it does. If you look at baseball, they've had 14 different champions in the 21 seasons since 2000. That's more than, the NBA, the NFL, they've had a lot more dynastic type of runs. I mean, look at the Patriots, you look at the Warriors and Lakers in that same time frame. So I think people assume a salary cap will create more competitive balance, when in reality, baseball has more competitive balance than some of the leagues that have salary caps. So I don't think we'll see a hard cap and a hard floor like we do in other sports. I'm not sure that would fix everything. A lot of this comes down to teams having owners that are willing to spend, but there's always going to be a gap. You know, I don't think we're ever going to see the Pirates spending on the same level as the Yankees, but there's also a point where some of this is just the Pirates owner at a certain point has to be willing to pony up, and if he's not, that's kind of on him.
Yeah, it's a bummer. I do kind of like, you know, as a Brewers fan, I wish it was more competitive. I wish that we were the team that could spend a ton of money. But just stepping back, I like that sports are kind of different. And I think I don't know, I'm still exploring this take in my own head, but I kind of like the fact that there is a league, you know, kind of like in the Premier League in England with soccer. You got to spend if you want to win. You got to be willing to put the investment in, and some teams are able to do it better than others. I kind of like that there's at least one sport like that here. It's just, it affects my team the most. So that's where I would want to see some sort of improvement. If you are the Brewers, and you know, they're kind of taking the stance of, and David Stearns has talked about this, as we talked to Kyle Glazer here on The Fan, they're taking the approach of, we want as many cracks at it as possible. Is, if you're a smaller market team, do you think that would be the best way to go? Or is one of these rebuilds where you strip everything? Like, are the Brewers better off getting Colton Wong, you know, trying to win 85 games, trying to slide into the playoffs, see what happened? Would they be better off trading Josh Hader, rebuilding the farm system, and trying to make like a real focused two-year run in a couple seasons from now? Do you approve of one way better than the other?
I think it really depends on each team and the talent they have on their roster and being realistic with what they have. The Brewers have enough frontline talent on their roster. A full strip it all down rebuild doesn't really make sense. When you have Brandon Woodruff, we saw Corbin Burnes take a step forward last year. You have Christian Yelich, you have Lorenzo Cain, you have Keston Hira, who again had a rough year last year but should be a star level hitter. You build up around them as opposed to strip it all down. I think the Brewers are doing the right thing. They're in a weak division. Give it a shot. Now, you know, if it doesn't work in 3 years from now, a lot of these guys are older, then maybe you have to reassess. But in terms of what they're doing right now, I do think they are going about it the right way. And I'm always going to favor putting a competitive team on the field than for 3 or 4 years charging your fans full price while putting a AAA product on the field.
Yeah, I think if there was a time for the Brewers to do it, you know, because I don't know who's coming to the stadium. I don't know how many people they're going to allow in the stadium. But people are going to be so desperate to come to the stadium that if there was a time to have a worse product, this might be now. But you're right. There's a lot of parts on this team. Just the Brewers are an interesting team right now because there's a lot of areas where you're like, oh, you got the MVP here. You got two great pitchers here. You got Colton Wong there now. You've no idea who's playing third. You're trying to make a second baseman play first. It's like they've got good spots and then kind of rough spots. Talking with Kyle Glazer, Baseball America. So it sounds like we have some rules now again. Baseball, you know, changing rules on the fly last year. It sounds like we have some rules as far as how the games are going to look with that extra runner again in the 10th inning, the 7th, the 7-inning doubleheaders. No DH yet. I guess they could always change that later. Do you like these rules in baseball? I'm still a little iffy on them.
I do not personally know. I think the universal DH is a good thing. Pitchers just don't hit enough to justify continuing to have them. And if you're trying to put the best product on the field, you should have a universal DH. So naturally, that's the one thing baseball didn't keep. But the 7-inning doubleheaders, not a fan. Starting a runner on second base and extra innings, also not a fan. I think Major League Baseball, in this case, kept the two worst rules of the 2020 season, while getting rid of the one that was actually going to make it a better product on the field.
The second base guy, the runner on second in the extra innings, it does, okay, so it does, you know, like, I'm perked up on my seat when I'm watching a game. And I think the argument that a lot of managers don't like it is, hey, one game, you know, I shouldn't go 20 innings, burn out my whole bullpen, and have one game affect the next 2 weeks of my rotation. But that's kind of what I like about baseball. It's a long season. It's 162 games. I would almost be okay if there were no playoffs in baseball. And he said, all right, after the 162 games, this is the winner, this is the loser, it's a battle of attrition more than any other sport. That's why I don't like that rule, Kyle.
Yeah, again, someone should have to actually go out and win the game rather than have a head start like that. It does create a little bit of excitement, but to me it's superficial, and it costs some teams some games that, you know, realistically, if they have a deeper pitching staff and you're able to survive that 15-inning game more than your opponent, you should be rewarded for that. This kind of takes that away, which I don't love.
Are we to say, I mean, it's very early, but are we to say Dodgers versus Yankees is the most likely World Series at this point?
If I had to pick today, I would actually pick the Dodgers and the White Sox. I don't entirely trust the Yankees' starting rotation to stay completely healthy when you look at Jameson Taillon, Corey Kluber, Luis Severino, all coming off some pretty significant injuries. I think when you look at the White Sox, I like the sturdiness of their rotation a little bit better, and I think their offense is a little more dynamic. One thing with the Yankees is they have a lot of big names, but they're very right-handed, and we've seen over and over again they're not the same offense outside of the bandbox that is Yankee Stadium. They've actually been more of a middle-of-the-pack offense on the road the last few years. I think the White Sox just have, again, a sturdier pitching staff, a deeper, more dynamic lineup that can hurt you in a couple different ways. So if I had to pick today, I'd say Dodgers, White Sox, but there's still some free agents out there and some trades that could be made, so that could change between now and opening day.
So you think the La Russa thing works for them?
I think that there's so much talent on the field that they'll be fine.
All right, so they'll get there in spite of La Russa. Well, we'll see. It's interesting. I know it's very early, but it's good to talk a little bit baseball, especially since, you know, we're still on Packers depression. Kyle, thank you for your time. We'll check in throughout the season. We do appreciate it.
My pleasure. Anytime, guys.
Kyle Glazer joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Great Midwest Bank. If you're applying for a home renovation loan and you're a bit anxious, breathe. Let Great Midwest Bank help you experience a state of tranquility. Get started at greatmidwestbank.com, greatmidwestbank.com.